Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. This is the word of the Lord.
So, wonderful to be here and minister to you with the word of God. It's my honor. May Jesus help me to share what I want to say to you. So I already preached this sermon several times in different groups and in different camps, and the title of this camp sermon is The Camp of Jesus. And Jesus went on in the area of Israel many years ago, and it was a very unique group and a very special group he was leading. First, in verse 1, the second part, we find out what was the purpose of this camp that was going around. I don't know where they was sleeping, if they had tents or if they was on the plain ground under trees. We don't know it. Even in the Jesus movies, you don't know it if it's historical footage, you know. It's all about proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So the question is, what is the reason sometimes for our camps and for our fellowship? Sometimes it might be that it's just for catering the religious appetite of all of us to know more and be closer to Jesus, which is an awesome thing. But the one reason for all camps, for all fellowships of Jesus, should be bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to the people. And when you want to do this, God will collect unique people around you, as Martin knows, I think. We will see what kind of people this are. There were 12 men and some women. This sounds very romantic, going through the landscape in Israel and have a beautiful woman along with one another. And but if you see all those characters, all the tension, then you see it was not as easy as it is in these three verses. It's only 3 verses, but it's a universe. Yeah. So this was were committed members of a ministry fellowship that went around doing good, bringing the kingdom of God. And when you are a really committed ministry fellowship, the things come to the surface. The things in your character, the things from your past, your character, I already said this, all your behavior, all those things. So if you just sit in the church looking to the front, to the blackboard or to the whiteboard, nobody has any problem with one another. When we see all the same, when we sing all the same songs, we have all the same words, it's no problem. Maybe some a little out of tune, but this is not the problem. But if it goes for the kingdom ministry, then the problems start. So now we want to see what different people were together here. So first of all, the legendary Mary Magdalene. So did Jesus have a love affair with her? We don't know. Was she the prostitute from the Sea of Galilee? We don't know. We should stay with the word. And the word says that she was full of 7 demons. And this symbolizes for me that she went through hell. Bad things happening in her life, and she was broken, she was hurt, she was bound, she was abused, and this was terrible. But she had a total change of her story. And she was very faithful till the end to Jesus. She was one of the last before he died on the cross. And she was one of the first at his resurrection. She never went away from Jesus. This is why, because she was so thankful that she got delivered. She was bound before, but then she was delivered and she was faithful to him. Then we have another lady, Joanna. She was very influential. She was rich, but still she had a serving attitude. And she was free to give, to support. So there was a crazy situation. You have to imagine, here are 12 men, the wives at home with the children, and other ladies in the team that are not the wives of those men. So I think the counselor Jesus had a lot of things to correct and to do in this situation. I myself had an experience like this when I was very young in my marriage. I went with a preacher to do some sightseeing, and there was a lady with that. The preacher was also a lady. There was another lady with that person. She was making beautiful eyes to me. She knew that I was married, had children, and short before I went out of home to go to the strip, I had a strife with my wife. So it was a terrible situation. So this might happen to you when you're on the camp of Jesus, that even such stupid stuff happens. And we have to be aware of this. It's a strange situation. The man formed a boy group with Jesus and his groupies, I would say. So this is weird stuff. And there are those men, you have to look at them. Saint Peter. He was not sent at that time. He was a businessman. He was very awake. He was very fast to speak. And he was always wanted to go with the head through the wall. I don't know if you say this in English. he was choleric. He thought he could do more than he originally could do. And he was very proud and very hot temper, fighting personality. But positive, you can say he was, even if he make a disaster, even if he make a total, how you call it, Niederlage? If even he was defeated, he was a failure, he stood up again. So this was very positive with his personality. But there were always tensions in the team. We read about this in Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you, rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves." Jesus had to teach them, but they were always asking on different occasions, who will be the greatest? And this happened in all teams where people, wonderful, holy Christian, all saints come together. And always this question arises. And there were other persons that they were really got into one another. This was the sons of thunder. If someone call you son of thunder, then you might be one of a bad, of a hot temper, I would say. So also James and John, the brothers, were of a hot temper. They were always sending the mother. She was asking who will sit next to you in heaven, on the left and on the right and everything. So they were the same, like Peter. But still, there was also John. He was also more of a feingeistiger Mensch, also more of a sensitive personality. He was a person of the heart. He was very close to Jesus' heart. And I think maybe sometimes when there was time for cooking, maybe he was running for prayer and the others got upset. So then there was Thomas. I like Thomas. Thomas was pessimistic personality. He had a rather dark world view. And he never was screaming, hooray, hooray. But those people are important because they can be a correction to a team where too many positive people are together and they make plans that no one can finance and have visions that not all people from the LSC could ever do it together. So this is very good to have pessimistic people in the team. You should welcome them. So he was crazy. He said when Jesus went to Lazarus to wake him up from the dead, he was saying, oh, let's go with him. We will all die anyway with him. So he was totally negative, but he was part of the team. Then we have a beautiful man. His name is not as known as Peter, but he was a brother of Peter. His name, Andrew, like our church, Andreas Kirche. Andrew, he was a stabilizing factor for this church. For this group, he brought Peter. He brought all the people to the group. He was silent, but he brought the people to the group. When the Greek people came, he and Philip, they brought them to Jesus. He was someone who really brought the people and stabilizing the group. Then we have an interesting character or interesting person. It's Simon the Zealot. Zealot were the extremists, the terrorists of their times. They were with weapon, with attacks. They were trying to get the Romans rid of in Israel. And they were fighters against injustice. They were revolutionaries. They were activists and extremists. And I have the feeling sometimes that those people are not too welcome in the churches. And maybe it's a mistake, because we need people in the church that stand up against that we destroy our nature, that we exploit people by buying cheap stuff at Primark or something like that. We need those people. But this is not all. But it's part of the group that belongs in the church. So in churches where you have the piety of the heart, you're often missing those people. And sometimes you have rather political-oriented churches, you're missing the people sometimes, not always, with the piety of the heart. But you need to have the Johns and you have to have the Simon the Zealots. Then we have Judas Iscariot. He was a betrayer. But I think that he had a good intentions. But he was driven by fear. And he wanted to control the destiny of the group. And you always have those people. In every church, there's a betrayer. Is it me? In every church, there's a betrayer. In every church is someone who wants to control the destiny. And we have to live with them. Jesus lived with them for 3 years. Sometimes maybe they go out. Sometimes not. We don't know. Maybe someone go out, the next come. And then we have Matthew, the tax collector, or Levi, his name. The interesting thing is, he was inviting all his non-Jesus interested friends to his home when he got touched by Jesus. And I like this thought, that he stayed with his friends outside the Christian bubble, and he was inviting them to Jesus. And this is also important, to have people that are connected to the world without being worldly, and also inviting them in their houses and sharing with them the good news, the gospel. And then at the last point, we have Philip. This is not a Jewish name, it's a Greek name. So this should be a Jew with a Greek background from the Greek-speaking countries. And he was like intercultural personality, translating between the Greek and the Hebrew culture. So as we see, we can, for all people that are inside the group, we can find positive and negative. I just see if you was listening to my preaching. Can you say maybe one positive thing and one negative thing of St. Peter?
He gets back up.
Huh?
He gets back up on his feet.
Ah, back up on his feet. Back up. Again. Yes. Strong-willed character, yeah. Negative?
Stubborn.
Ah, this is actually in the middle.
Stubborn. I don't know if this is right. Stubborn.
So, one really negative with him?
Hot-tempered. This is not good.
I know from my own experience at home all the time that hot temper is not good. So, what is good with Mary Magdalene? What is a positive?
Last at the cross, first at the tomb.
Pardon?
Last at the cross, first at the tomb.
Ah, so stayed with Jesus, yeah? Stayed with Jesus. Jesus always. So what could be a little exhausting with her? If you imagine someone really going through misuse, through deliverance, through someone really a bad history, what can happen with such a person in a group, in a Christian group, in a ministry fellowship? I read it. More easily hurt. So this is something that can really happen to someone. But you have to watch those people worship that get out of a real bad situation and get delivered by Jesus. Maybe they will scream at you on the front door, but then they will sing to Jesus so beautiful that you will be amazed. And we have to stay with one another, even if this Mary don't change for years. Maybe she never changed, but she's part of the team. This is important. So let's go to Thomas. What's positive with Thomas? Or first negative. What's this negative with Thomas?
Pessimistic.
We will never get a new pastor. Pessimistic. But what is good with this kind of person? What is good?
Realistic.
Yes,
realistic.
Okay, realistic. Okay. So, and sometimes this looks a little like psychology, but it is not. It's just life. But sometimes, if you have the hot temper, The realistic guy can give another view. Yeah. Or if you have someone like Andrew,
who is stable, it's a positive thing, stable personality, he can maybe marry.
Sometimes she's up, sometimes she's down.
When you have such an Andrew, he can really
get along with her, and in those times where she's hurt, can just give her a feeling, okay, everything is fine. I feel like bad, but this person gives me peace now. So we all need one another in this group, in this ministry fellowship, which we call church. We should combine our strength and carry our weakness. A church like this is not easy. It's dynamic, but in the long run, it will be more effective. If you always sort out different people from your church, or they sort them out themselves, which oftentimes happens, then you will not have the strength that you could have. So in your church, one should think it's a multi-ethnic, multicultural church, which you are. But sometimes it can happen even in a church with different nationalities that you even in one point you are monocultural, and you have to see why this happened. Also, you have to say when there's a shift in leadership, different groups of people or different characters can pop up more strongly then. Maybe they find out now I have a little space to show how good I am, or now I have the space to bring this theology in or this topic which I always wanted. So you have to deal with it, but not go out away from one another. But you have to work with it. You have to fight with one another in a positive way. So it's so funny, Thomas, our pastor, is now away for half a year, and we had different preachers now from different places that came to us and preached. And one Sunday, there was a very spirit-filled service with prophecy and everything, and people got upset. The next Sunday was a total liturgy service, and people got upset. And I thought, is this a new normal here, or what was it? What is it? But it's okay. So when this happens, we don't get gray hair in the church board. We just we can discuss it, and we can say, okay, we see 30% of the message we liked, and the other one you can dispute about it. So it's okay. Sometimes this happened. We should be watchful as church board to have not too diverse. And one said, who that is open for everything is not really good to be open for everything. In Deutsch heißt es, wer offen ist für alles, ist nicht ganz dicht. Also, wenn ihr es schon mal gehört habt. Das meine ich nicht. Wir sollen nicht alles Mögliche, we don't shall bring in everything now, but we should cherish the diversity of our characters and of our backgrounds. And it doesn't work without the Holy Spirit. So if you sit here and look to the front, you will be fine with one another. But as soon as you have to clean the kitchen together, or as soon as if you go in the kids ministry or the youth ministry together, you will find out that you have different opinion about it, and you have a different character, and you have to see how it will work best and not run away from one another. So, to get Reibung,
friction.
The friction will bring out the good in your life. If you run away all the time, you never have the friction and will not bring the good out of your life. And it's always a chance to to lay down your prejudice when you work together with one another, to let loose fear and see the other and not only me, the unholy trinity, me. So the camp of Jesus only goes with Jesus in the camp. Peter, the old fisherman, is getting on my nerves. Mary, it's always pissy and reacting hurt. Joanna thinks he's something special because she's best friend with Herod. And Judas, his betrayer, went away from us. This is the camp of Jesus, the church. Everyone has his feelings. Simon, with all his extremist opinions, we don't like it. But it's important to look about on the story of everyone. So tell one another your story. What happened to you in your life? Why are you the way you are? So in German we say Beipackzettel bei Medizin. So maybe read the safety instructions of your neighbor. Yeah, what to do and what to not do with him. So if you put the hairdryer in the bathtub, it will be disaster. Okay, so don't do this with your sister. Yeah, or with your brother. So and over all of this there is love. And 1 John 4 says, verse 16, I think, love will cast out all fear. And this is what I'm wishing to you, that you experience this in every group, in the ministry group, in the church, but as a church in a whole, and we as churches in Leipzig, and also in the partnership with Andreas Gemeinde and Leipzig English Church. Amen.